Welcome, everyone, to episode 50 of 1 Hour, One Decision, 1H, 1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass and decide, is it Kiwami or is it Kawaii?
I don't think it's either of those.
That's right. Well, this episode, we're going to be talking about Yakuza Kiwami 2. Developed by Sega.
Let's jump right into the second of a series right again.
Why not? That's what we do here. Always get the second one. This game came out back in December of 2017. And I play this on the PC. It was a whopping 43.08 gigabyte, Tom.
On the Xbox One, 44.5 gigabytes. Why? I don't know.
Makes no sense, but that's okay. Let's find out, though. What kind of game is it?
Well, it's a 3D fighting game with a plot, but then I also put, actually, it's a movie with fight minigames.
that's probably pretty accurate. I put a soap opera action game?
Ooh, soap opera action game. That, yeah. I like that.
It's, you know, it like there's so much drama going on.
It's heavy on the drama
in this game. Let's talk about that game loop. Let's talk about the game loop, Tom.
Well, see, the problem here, Chris, is that game loop implies that you're playing a game. Mm-hmm. I wrote, watch cutscenes, fight thugs, watch more cutscenes.
Yeah, but pretty much what I said. I put watch cutscenes and then beat some ass. Because you do beat some ass in this game.
That is true. That harkens back to me putting down that it's a 3D fighting game.
It is quite the fighting game when you get to play it. But shall we get into it, Tom?
What do
we?
Yeah. Why don't you start with some of your pros there, Chris?
Sure. First off, yes, I know this is the second of this series, which there is so many of these games. It's like, it's really hard to keep up.
Man, when I looked into the Wikipedia, to write up our little blurb, I was like, oh boy, there are a lot of Yakuza games.
They just keep churning out these games, and now they have like an RPG style. So
there's spin-off of the spin-off games.
That's right. But I gotta say, I love the pageantry, the soap opera-ness of this game. Like, you're right off the bat, you're just like thrown into this world. You're first thrown into the world past, then into the future, and like there's just like there's time, like flashbacks and stuff like that. I was already like really invested in and seeing like what the heck's going on, who are these people, and why I should care. And I did start caring in under an hour, I must say. I was impressed about that. It's a very pretty game for, I guess now it is a game that came out 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So that engine, I think this is still on the, like they've kind of gone through a couple of engines for this game. Yeah. I think it's like one of the older, it's Like a Dragon, the one that came out fairly was part of the newer style of, but, the combat, I gotta say, when you get the chance to play the game, I felt like it was so satisfying. It was such a satisfying beat 'em up that I was like, enthralled with that process, because it's like, they had simple combinations, your punch and kick, you had your grabs just like in Streets of Rage, which is awesome, and then blocks and all that other stuff, and then like the environmental stuff that you can do, charge attack. It was very satisfying. What about you, Tom? What did you like?
So just to piggyback on what you said just a little bit there, I loved using the items in the environment for fights. Like, if you ever play me in Smash Brothers, my favorite character is items. So when you turn off items, you make it so that I can't use my favorite character. But in a game like this, or a lot of beat 'em ups, right? Like, pick up the knife off the street, pick up the telephone pole and hit somebody with it. Like, I love that stuff. And this game has that all over the place. So thank you very much, guys who made this, Sega. But just the fights in general, I agree, were a lot of fun once you actually got to do them. I liked the intros of the characters in the fights, that, like the big bold text, like, oh, these are bad guys, we're about to fight them.
Right.
And then like, the fight is fun. And then at the end of it, you have like the finishing moves and stuff like that. And it's just, it's very like, I don't know.
It's like, it's weird because it's like, it's almost like the cutscenes take this world and make it very serious.
Yes.
And then the actual gameplay like flips it on its head and it's like, this is such a ridiculous story. Like, here you go. Like, here's some wackiness that you do. Like, you could literally kick a guy across the street.
Yep. Which definitely wouldn't happen in one of the cutscenes. The cutscenes are super serious.
Right. Very serious stuff. Like, you see a guy get shot like 3 times. He didn't go flying across the room. He just got shot and like a normal human being. Yeah. I was like, oh, dang. All right. But it was amazing. That's it. But go on.
So talking about the cutscenes a little bit, because there are some, you know, there's something to like about them as well. Like you said, it's kind of a soap opera. I think they did a good job of integrating into the plot of this game a way to retell you the plot of the first game. Now, I assume that's what's happening there, where you're like, because it's like, hey, would you like to remember these events that happened a year ago? And it's like, yeah, because I don't know them. So it'd be good to just tell them to me.
Right.
And then it kind of plays like a truncated version of like Cliff Notes version of what happened in the first game. Yeah. And then it does a bit of that. And it's like, hey, do you want to do more of that? You want to keep recapping? Do you want to move on? And they do it all through this, like you're visiting a cemetery and visiting the graves of loved ones. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is like a really good in-universe way to get this information across.
Yeah.
You know, assuming that your player hasn't actually played the game, which neither of us had.
Right, right. Yeah. Did you continue remembering, or you stopped?
I did not. I only did the first one because I wanted to see what it did. Right. And then it made me watch a long cutscene, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I'd like to play the game before my hour's up. So
I think was the first time you actually got to play the game, right?
Yes. Yes. So I made the right decision.
I think. Oh, yeah. Oh, let's talk about this wisdom of this child note that you have.
Oh, yeah. So also on the business of liking things, I think it did a good job. Like this little girl, right, who you are the custodian of because her family's all dead through your actions in the prior game.
Sorry.
Spoiler. She's like, hey, you're going to go off and like kick a lot of ass now, aren't you? And you're like, uh-huh. And she's like, yeah, so maybe I should go and like hang out, you know, somewhere else that's safe. And I'm like, yeah, little girl, you really should do that. And it's weird that I, as the main character, am not the one telling you that. Like this, I don't know how old this girl is supposed to be, 8, 10. I don't know, but she's smart. She's like, I'm going to go lay low and stay away from all the killing that's happened that I've witnessed firsthand before.
Right. It's true. She's a smart one. And is she the same girl that you see? Was it in the cutscene, the remembering cutscene, where she's like holding the gun?
Yep.
Like that gun looked gigantic in her hand. I don't know if you noticed that.
She was a little kid. I mean, it was a year ago. She was probably, I don't know, 6 or something. I don't know how these characters age.
It looked the size of like a Cloud's sword, like in her hands. It was just like that gigantic of gun.
Yeah.
I was like, good Lord. But,
oh, yeah. I did have one more that I want to point out, which is Virtua Fighter 2 is packed into this game. What? And it is. So, like in the start menu, you can just play Virtua Fighter 2 if you want to do that.
Oh, is that the 2-player activities?
Yeah. Like, it won't let you do it by yourself. You have to have a second controller plugged in. But sure. And I was like, what? And apparently in the Yakuza games, that's like normal. Huh. Like that, like fighting games are like hidden in these games, like all over the place. Like you go to an arcade and you can play the full version of Tekken. It's like, what?
Really?
It's just in the game. And that's that. Apparently that's how all of these Yakuzas work out. So like they go, you know, different game fighting games are in each one, but they just give you a free fighting game inside.
That's amazing. I didn't even know that. I saw that option for the 2-player like mini games or activities that you can do. But I was like, well, I don't have a second player to play.
It's true. Going. We should move on to dislikes, though.
Okay. While I love the cutscenes, you and I both pretty much said this, but it was probably of the hour that I played, I probably like of actual.
Yep.
And that kind of stinks because I want more of that beat 'em up that they have in there.
Yeah.
I didn't get to do any of the, it seems like you did a lot more in the city. The only thing I got to do was actually beat people up and get my first meal, which I thought was also kind of interesting because like it's a little bit of a game too, because you're trying to find the right meals to pick so that you're fully replenished without going over full, because overstuff yourself, lose XP, or not lose XP, but you don't gain as much throughout the game. So, you know, it was that was pretty interesting. I know that there's like a karaoke game in there somewhere too. I haven't played it in this particular one, but you talked about it's that sort of thing. It's like I wanted to play more of it, but there was just so many cutscenes. I also wanted to say that while as like well polished and stuff like that, the cutscenes were, the in-game dialogue was just kind of weird. It was just so off, like in terms of, I mean, the text and everything was good, but it was just that you were just reading text and then you hear them just grunt or make some weird noise. And I'm like, they kind of took me out of the game. I don't know why. The dialogue was still pretty funny.
Yeah.
In game, but I don't know. It was it was still like a little weird, because especially since they take all this time to do these gigantic cutscenes like every so often or very often, that that kind of took me out. But what about you, Tom? You said something about this dance party. Oh, the very
beginning. So yeah, right out of the gates, like the game opens. And you're watching like a dance party, but it's definitely feels like, it felt to me like something out of The Sims. Like it didn't feel like, everybody's moving kind of weird. And I guess that it's supposed to be set in the past and, you know, maybe they're dancing the way they danced 40 years ago, but like, it just doesn't look natural at all. It just looks weird. It looks like a scene from The Sims.
Right.
And then there were like all these disjointed cutscenes as the game is getting put together. And I've got this very big sense that I was like really missing stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's because I was missing a whole game's worth of content that it was referencing.
Yeah.
And then it eventually lets you go, like, if you'd like to remember the first game, you can do that. It's like, but I've already had to endure all of this. Like 20 minutes of cutscenes and things where I'm like, I have no idea what's going on.
Right.
Before they give you an opportunity to learn what is going on, you know, it's almost like the remember game one should have been like the first thing they asked you.
Yeah.
Would you like to watch a 20 minute recap of the first game? It's important. You really should. You like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah. If that's what you say, then I'll watch it. And then they could do all those other things that they were doing, and it would be like, oh, okay, this makes sense now.
Well, I mean, in a sense, you could say they set it up like a Tarantino film.
Sure.
You know, they could do it like that.
Yeah, you're right. But just like you, I had an endless experience with the cutscenes. I think of the 60 minutes that I played, I think it's generous to say that 20 minutes of it was actually playing versus watching cutscenes. Like, and that's that. I wish that was an exaggeration.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not. It's not. And I think that there are plenty of games out there that can tell their plot through cutscenes that are more interactive. Games like Uncharted, Last of Us, you know, you could keep going. There's a ton of games that do that really well, where you're like playing the game, maybe like playing a light version of the game as you get, you know, exposition. But you feel like you're in control of the experience, as opposed to just put down the controller and wait.
Yeah,
true. So
I will say that Xbox cloud saves are available, but they're not transferable between.
Oh,
like, and
interesting.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, as I tried to boot up, because I saw it said Xbox cloud saves, but then when I booted up my Xbox to try to see if I could load the game from when did not see the save. The other thing I just want to mention, if you were to kind of, I don't know if speed run is the right term, but if you just want to like just do the mainline stuff here. Apparently it takes you about 18 and a half hours to, if you were a completionist of any sort, this game can take 80 hours of your life, which is insane.
See, But here's an interesting thought, Chris, right? Mm-hmm. In 18 and a half hours of beating the game,
right,
probably 12 hours of that is cutscenes, maybe more.
Yeah.
But if only 12 out of your 80 hours are cutscenes, that's a whole lot of game that you played.
That's also true.
So I think that once you've sat through 12 hours of cutscenes, I think you're almost obligated to continue playing the game up to 80 hours just so you could actually play the game.
Yeah, fair point. But I think it's time for us to carry.
Yes. Would you like to go first, or would you like me to go first?
You can go
first. So Yakuza had something going against it right from the start, and that's that organized crime is just not my thing at all. Like, I'm just not interested in your Goodfellas or your Godfathers or any kind of like organized crime story. I'm just not really interested in it. And unfortunately for Yakuza Kiwami 2, there's not enough actual gameplay to offset the fact that that's what the game is about. So, like, the game is fun to play, but you play very little of it. And so I don't know if I could sit through another 12 hours of of Yakuza story.
But see, Tom, this is the thing. Because I feel like, especially like a Yakuza, like this Japanese mafia, there's order, there is hierarchy, there's all this stuff that I feel like kind of, that's something that you would appreciate.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah, because like, you know, I know you're a big Empire person.
Yep.
You're a big, you know, the whole like medieval stuff as well is another thing. So it's like they have a lot of those things that are still like respect, there's honor, stuff like that among people or organization. Like, that's sort of like, that is interesting to see that you're like, I'm not into them stuff. Because that's actually one thing I did want to mention. Outside of that, like the characters and like I thought for me the story seemed compelling. I'm not really into the mafia or whatnot, but like the like that whole like seedy Japan is still so cool because it's like they're still so organized. It's like being a seedy, like the bad or the seedy area of Japan, and it's like, okay, I'm picking up what you're putting down, Sega, with this game. That's interesting. Couldn't get past that. But I will say, when I first threw a bike at a guy, that's when I knew this game got me. And I think I am going to keep this game. I think this has really been a pleasant experience, even though there was a lot of cutscene. In fact, I am eating a bowl of ramen right now because this is how much I've really enjoyed it, because it was so good that I just wanted to keep going after.
You just need a CC lemon to drink with it, and then you're good.
Exactly. But that is our thoughts on this game, guys. What we would love to know what you guys think about this. Definitely hit us up on all our social media platforms, to really just Twitter and Outlook, but an email. But on Twitter, you can hit us up at TC1H1D. And on email, you can shoot us an email at TC1H1D@outlook.com. And let us know what your thoughts are. And we can discuss the ins and outs of Yakuza and the entire line of this series. But what else is there? There is, we've got to let you guys know that 1H1D is part of the QTB network. And hey, if wrestling is your thing, check out the Double DQ Wrestling Podcast, Enzo and Biggs, at quitthebill.com/double, the word double, and then the letters DQ at the end of it. So that's a new group of guys that are part of our network now.
Cool.
Yeah. But we do have YouTube now. So you can comment down below, and if you think the series is great or not, let us know. But Tom, we got to find out where.
Yes, it's an important part of wrapping up our episode.
Yes, it is.
They want to know when they can, what they're going to hear next time. It's like watching an episode of your favorite, show.
Yeah, and they could be watching this on YouTube. Oh, as God. Well.
That's true. Got him. That's not what I meant. I meant, you know, like an anime episode. We got to put the stinger in for the next episode. Sure. Find out what happens next time.
So here we go. Let's find out what the surprising button has for us. Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Hollow Knight.
I have never played Hollow Knight.
Me neither.
Well, that's the requirement, ain't it?
It really is. Hollow Knight Void Heart Edition is what we're going to be playing next. And I've heard some good things about this game. So be prepared, Tom, to say you're not going to play this game.
Okay. The hype. We'll see.
The hype is so... Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, watching, and doing whatever you're doing while listening. And we will talk to you on the next
one. Thanks, everybody.